This morning's title is The Road to Heaven. The Road to Heaven. We'll be looking at Matthew 7, verses 13 through 23. So Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 through 23, let's read this and then we'll open with prayer. Jesus, again speaking, says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" Father, this morning we just invite your Holy Spirit to give us understanding of your word that is alive. Help us to understand this text. Lord, show us how to apply it to our life in a practical sense, that we can live your words, we can understand them, and that it would lead us into all truth. Open up our eyes and our ears, Lord. Give us this understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, there's a popular saying in our culture that I know for certain that you have heard it. And the saying is, all roads lead to heaven. Have you heard that before? I've heard that before. I've heard it from people who say it that simply just want to be left alone. Just leave me alone. All roads lead to heaven. I've heard it said by those who think that whatever road they're on will get them to heaven, so they don't need to worry about, you know, God or whatever, because we'll all just eventually get there. I've actually even heard Christians make that comment. All roads lead to heaven. Well, if all roads do lead to heaven, then that implies that there is a heaven. And if there's a heaven, then there is some sort of God who's in heaven. And so to me, to think that all roads lead to a place where there is God and all roads lead there, then that is to endorse this thinking that says, I can blaspheme the one there. I can blaspheme God. I can do whatever I want, and that road will get me there. And I don't think that's right. I don't think that's how it works. In fact, we just read in Matthew chapter 7 that there are, in fact, two roads and only two roads. There is not a third road. There's not a shortcut. There are two roads. In fact, I would, based upon what Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 6, familiar verse, Jesus says, "I am the way." Amen? "I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." So do all roads lead to heaven? No. Do all roads lead to heaven? No. No. If you all would have got that right the first time, we could have gone home. But now we're here for another hour, so make sure you understand that all roads do. There are two roads, and it's our choice of which road we are going to choose from. Go to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, verse 22. We'll see kind of a parallel here from Matthew 7. When you're there, say amen. Then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" Through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, "Sir, open the door for us." But he will answer, "I don't. We ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets." But he will reply, "I don't know you or where you came from. Away from me, all you evildoers." Flip back to Matthew chapter 7. So here we see two different scriptures where Jesus in his teaching has clearly stated that there are two different ways, two different roads, two different paths, and we are all on one of those two roads. We are on the road that the Bible, Jesus, has defined as narrow. There is a narrow gate. It's a picture, if you will, of being inside of a city. Back in their time, a city surrounded by a great wall. The walls, signified safety and security as a place of refuge from the dangers outside of the city. They're inside of the city, and there's gates that would lead you. You could pass through them to go in and out of the city. So picture yourself, if you will, inside of a city. There's a brick wall all around you, and there is a wide door, like what we would use for driving cars through. Semis go through the huge doors, big entrance. And there's a lot of people going down that road, going through that gate. But off to the side, there's this smaller door, this narrower door. And you might have to go in sideways. I mean, it's really tight, it's really small. And that gate then leads down a different path. That the path also is narrow. And so those are our two options, friends. We can either choose the wide, easy door that's easy to get through, it's easy to find, we can get there. Or there's this narrow door that Jesus said in Luke 13 that we need to make every effort to enter into that door. Entering into through that gate that leads to life takes effort. It takes being intentional. It is what many of us do. We're searching for life. We're trying to find purpose. We're trying to find meaning. We hear the gospel message, and the Bible says the gospel message is foolishness to those that are perishing. And so, that doesn't make sense. This narrow door through Jesus, he's the only way. That seems, intolerant. That seems like you're limiting, all roads lead. No, not all roads lead to heaven. There is one gate, a narrow gate, that leads to life. There is another gate that is wide. It is broad, and there are many people on there, and that road leads to destruction. What road are you on this morning? What gate have you passed through? On this road, this narrow road that leads to life, there will be hazards, there will be obstacles. And he identifies for us what one of those obstacles will be. We could say, I want to go through life. I want to go to life. I want to experience eternal life. I want to experience God. Life is found through this narrow gate. I want to go through that. And I'm going to choose to go through that. And it takes being intentional. It takes repenting of our sins. It is the only way to enter into that gate. We can look at some just mindless robots just walking down this road. They don't know what they're doing. There's others that are partying and having a good time. And yeah, this is all fun. But here are a few, Jesus says, a few that go through this gate. And we get through that gate through Jesus Christ, for he is the way. And one of the obstacles that Jesus identified for us was the false prophet, or those that would come in the form of, on the outside, they would look like sheep. He's going to use this illustration of like this animal kingdom thing, and then he's going to shift gears and kind of use as a metaphor with plants and nature and stuff. And so Jesus is trying to get to us across the point, number one, today, that there are two roads. One that leads to life, one that leads to destruction. The one that leads to life is only found through Christ. It is found through repenting. Those that are on the road of destruction are those that reject Christ, are those that do not believe in him. There are those that just kind of, you know, live life as though life was nothing. It's easier, it looks better, it looks good in a lot of ways, but it's not because of where the destination is that it leads to. So if we go back to Matthew chapter 7, starting with verse 15, Jesus will give to us one of these hazards that we will come across on the narrow path that leads to heaven. Come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. So Jesus, excuse me, he's going to talk about how along this road to life, of being intentional, of walking after the will of God, being led by the Spirit is to walk out on this narrow road. And he says, along the path, you're going to come across God's people, especially even the church. Jesus is the good shepherd, and his sheep hear his voice. His sheep know him. They follow him. Jesus is the gate of the sheep pen. We go through Christ to get into the sheep pen, to be a part of the kingdom. Those that come in over the wall another way are those that come to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus is saying, on this road, this narrow road, you're going to come across some sheep, quote unquote, that are not really sheep. They're false prophets. They look good on the outside. They look like they belong there, but they don't belong there because inside they are a ferocious wolf. Now, you've probably never seen, as you look outside in your Nebraska, you know, yard or go different places, you've probably never seen, you might have seen a wolf playing with a sheep, but you have never seen a sheep playing with a wolf. Jesus is contrasting for us two extremes. There is a road that leads to life. The opposite extreme, there's a road that leads to death. The road that leads to life is narrow. The opposite, a false prophet that on the outside looks like a sheep, but on the inside, he is the sheep's enemy. He is a wolf. He's going to talk about a good tree, a bad tree, good fruit, bad fruit. He's using these extremes for us to understand this teaching of what he's telling us today. If you're on this road trip to heaven, on your narrow road, what do I need to do? Well, I need to watch out for false prophets. So Jesus identifies that we will be able to identify them by their fruit. So as we're going along this narrow road to heaven, being intentional, that seem like they belong, but on the inside, they are the actual opposite. They are there. They do not belong there. They are there to bring harm, to bring injury. They are not there to edify and to help out. And Jesus says, we will be able to identify who they are by their fruit. From thorn bushes, think of those extremes. Do you pick grapes? Grapes is a very popular fruit for Israel, and the figs, those are the two most popular. It brings money, it's a source of currency, and all that they get from it. To the extremes of, you know, the thistle, do we get good fruit from bad things? He says, no. So he's telling us that you will be able to tell whether or not somebody that's walking with you on this narrow road, if they belong there or not, you'll be able to tell that by their fruit. We'll be able to identify a false thing out of them. He doesn't say you'll be able to identify them by how green their leaves are or how nice their bark is, because those are exterior things. It's a sheep in wolf's clothing. He's wearing a costume. And so from the outside, oh yeah, that it looks like a sheep, you know. Walks like a sheep, smells like a sheep, must be. That was bad. We will. Let's just pray and go home. But the fruit, because the fruit is what comes from the branches. It comes from inside. Because that's what the seed of that tree is, what that fruit is. You cannot take an orange seed and, you know, grow apples because that's not what's in there. And so we can tell a false prophet by what is on the inside. Well, how can you see what's on the inside? So, let's look at this. Because it is almost a little confusing. Did you notice what their response is to Jesus when he tells them? You know, first he says, we'll be able to identify these people by their fruit. Verse 21. So verse 20, he says that you'll know them by their fruits. But look at verse 21. He says, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So how do we get to heaven? The beginning of that is that walking through that gate is repentance. God's will is for us to repent of our sins. God's will for us is that we would receive his Son into our lives. His Spirit would come and dwell inside of us. That is part of God's will. And then we walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh, on this narrow road that leads to life, thus fulfilling God's will. But look at the verse 22. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Well, that sounds like pretty good fruit, doesn't it? Prophesying in the name of the Lord? What else did they do? In your name, have we not cast out devils? Well, that seems like pretty good fruit, right? Wonderful works. Well, that seems like pretty good fruit, doesn't it? I mean, am I the only one that reads this and looks at this and says, okay, well, you'll know them by their fruit. Okay, what are their fruits? Well, here's some things that they did. We prophesied in your name, we casted out devils, and we did many signs and wonders. That's pretty good fruit. But Jesus says that they will not be allowed into the kingdom of God. And the reason is because they were on the wrong road. The reason is because of them. I want to caution all of us this morning that outward signs and wonders, miraculous signs, are not a sign of what is taking place inside of an individual. In fact, Jesus warns us of such people. Matthew chapter 24, you can write this. Jesus talking about the end of the age. And he says in Matthew 20, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Messiah, or there he is, do not believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive you. He says, see, I told you ahead of time. So he gives us a warning that are with us on this road to life. We need to be careful that we're not swept away by false doctrines and false teachings by people who appear to be people that belong on that road, and not only that, are doing signs and wonders. Now, we believe, I believe, this church believes in our doctrine that signs and wonders are for today, that God has not changed, and the miracles that he did in the Old Testament and in the New Testament and in the early church are the same miracles that he can do today. And we believe that he does those things. We believe that the Spirit of God lives inside of us and that we are equipped by the same power that raised Christ from the dead, that we are raised from the dead, and you can walk in signs and wonders. I believe that. I believe that God has equipped us with the power of the Holy Spirit to do those things. So just because you do a sign and wonders does not mean you are a false prophet. Neither does just because you do those things mean that you're not a false prophet. It all reflects on what's going on the inside. In fact, we see this in Exodus. When Moses and Aaron were sent to Pharaoh, let my people go. And they did a sign and wonders. Well, Pharaoh bring out his magicians. They'd do the same sign and wonder. You know, but eventually they got to a sign that they couldn't do. And they said, oh, we can't do that one. We see that even in Acts chapter 8, Simon the sorcerer was deceiving people. We see in Acts chapter 13, Bar-Jesus the sorcerer was deceiving people through signs and wonders. So it takes discernment on our part, and we're told to be discerning to figure out if people that are with us or on along this road of life that we are on, are those people truly sheep, or are they a sheep in wolf's clothing? And unfortunately, we see this in our culture far too often, where somebody writes a book and it gets sent to the Christian world, And the Christians devour this book, but the guy himself or the woman herself are false. That their motives and their intentions are not the right. Or they're teaching something that's not quite true according to the Bible. And that's why we as Christians are told to discern and to test everything by the word of God. Amen? If somebody writes a book and tells you something that's contrary to the word of God, do not buy the book. Do not listen to it. Do not believe it. Do not receive it. It is false. And we are told to be careful of those people that are doing those things, because if we're not careful, those people will lead us off of the narrow road onto the broad road that leads to destruction. That is their purpose. Their purpose is to get us off of the narrow road and to get us off and to get us onto the road that leads to destruction. Jesus said, only those who do the will of my Father. So, how can we discern if a person's fruit is really true fruit or is it artificial stuff? We know that God uses vessels for honor and some vessels for dishonor. In other words, God raises up people, even the enemy, to be used for his glory. In fact, the disciples one day, when they're walking with Jesus, they were so proud of themselves because they saw people doing signs and wonders and miracles, and they weren't part of their group. And so the disciples told them to stop it, to knock it off. And Jesus says, don't tell them to stop it, because good is coming from it. So as we're on this narrow road and we are being told and cautioned by Christ today to be discerning of false prophets, people whose motives are not right, people who do not belong there because they are people that ultimately reject God, how will we be able to discern them? We'll be able to discern them by their fruit. And John the Baptist said in Matthew 3:8, he says this, as he's preaching, he says, therefore bear fruit worthy of repentance. The fruit in a person's life, the fruit of a good tree, will bear fruit worthy of repentance. Where does the fruit come from? It comes from the inside of the tree. So a tree, as Jesus' example, or a person who has truly repented of their sin, they are now a good tree. As a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, you are a good tree. Look at your neighbor and say, I am a good tree. And then tell them, my fruit is good. Because it comes from the inside. It is a work of God in your life. You are good. You are good through this. And now as a result of being good, you need to bear good fruit. Now, do you ever see a tree think its way to bearing good fruit? Oh, come on, good fruit. I'm just believing. Today's going to be a good day. Power positive thinking, praise God. I'm going to bear good fruit today. I'm going to bear good fruit today. I'm going to bear good fruit. No, I've never seen a tree do that. The fruit comes from the seed that is in the tree. Your fruit in your life, the good fruit, because you are a good tree, comes from the seed of God that dwells inside of you. Amen? You can walk in good works. You can walk with good fruit. And you're supposed to, because you are a good tree. You are not a bad tree trying to come up with good fruit. That don't work. And you're not a good tree that's producing bad fruit. Because the seed of God is inside of you, and that is a good seed for you to bear. Bearing good fruit starts with repentance. A good tree bears good fruit. And a tree can only become good through Jesus Christ. We can only enter through that narrow gate through Jesus Christ. And whenever we repent of our sins, in chapter 3, we are born into the kingdom. Kingdom. In fact, that's what the word again means. Jesus said, be born again. The word again actually means from above. So you're born from above. And because you're born from above, you're to bear fruit worthy of repentance. It's a natural thing that will take place inside of you. It's a cause and effect. You're born again. that Spirit of God inside of you bears fruit through you, and you become a blessing to those around you. People walk by and they say, wow, look at the fruit, and they take it off and they're blessed because of the work of God in your life. But the false prophet will not have that fruit. Repent. It is only through the Spirit of God that a person is able to, as Lord, they are a person you need sheep's clothing. Do not listen to them. Do not waste your time with them. That's one of the ways you can find out if a person is a Christian, a true Christian. Ask them that question that we looked at in the last 2 weeks. Look about all this great stuff. No, who is Jesus? Tell me who Jesus is. Then maybe I'll read your book. Then maybe I'll listen to your sermons. Then maybe I'll take your counsel. But first and foremost, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? And if they will not answer that question or refuse to answer that question or answer it incorrectly, then ignore them. Move on. Their purpose is to get you off of the path that leads to life. We must be diligent in this, friend. We must be intentional as we're walking this Christian life to being able to discern. And God will again, if that person is or if that ministry is truly God or not. Now, I want us to close this morning by looking at, I made the statement a couple times this morning, but in Galatians chapter 5, turn there if you would please. Matthew chapter 5, verse 22. Galatians, what did I say? Matthew. You can look at Matthew 5:22 later. We're having fun today, aren't we? Galatians chapter 5, verse 20. You are a good tree this morning. Good seed in you. And that seed in you, the Holy Spirit, will do the 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, he just given us the fruit of the flesh, if you will, the bad fruit. He just gave us those before verse 22. But the fruit, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And that's what's inside of you. That's the seed that's been planted inside of you. And so you and I will bear these fruits in our lives, not hoping someday that we can, but you will bear these fruits in your life because it is the fruit of the Holy Spirit that is in you. Do you believe that this morning? Amen. Do you receive that this morning? He continues to say, against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. As we're on this narrow road that leads to life, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let's keep in step with the Spirit. And as there's hazards and obstacles along this path and false prophets, let's be able to discern who they are, discern if they really are of God or not. And let's keep in step with the Spirit, bearing fruit, good fruit in our own lives. So this text this morning tells us to do whatever we need to do to enter through the narrow gate. Have you entered through the narrow gate? Are you on the road to life? Because not all roads lead to life. There's two roads. One leads to life. One leads to destruction. We enter the road of life through Jesus Christ. Are you discerning those wolves in sheep's clothing that are around you? I don't know how many there are. Maybe there's one or two. Maybe there's a bunch of them. Maybe this is what season of life you're in. But we need to be discerning. Amen? We need to be discerning. And I'm to be encouraged this morning to stay and step with the Spirit. Stay on the narrow road that leads to life until you reach that destination. Jesus has provided the path. Jesus has provided the way. The Holy Spirit sustains us on that journey. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together and we're going to close this morning with prayer. Father, this morning we say thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for the good seed that you've planted in our life as believers in Christ Jesus. Lord, thank you that we don't bear bad fruits because we are good because of you. Lord, help us, sustain us to walk that narrow road that leads to heaven. May we not be led astray by the easy, quote unquote, easy road that leads to death and destruction. May we not turn back, but may we continue to walk. May we be those that overcome. May we be those that keep in step with the Spirit. Father, I pray you give us a discerning spirit, being able to identify any false prophets that might be along our path, whenever they should come about. Lord, help us to discern and not just look at their outward or look at those things, but God, to see their fruit, the fruit being that which comes from inside. Lord, that we would be able to discern those things, that we would not be deceived, even though that you even said, we read it today, that at the end of the age, many will come and do works for the purpose of deceiving. Lord, may we not be deceived. And Father, we just pray that the Holy Spirit would bear those fruits in our life, that we would allow you to do those fruits in our life that we read from Galatians 5. Lord, we just give you glory. Thank you for a great time this morning with our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. Lord, we just lift you up. Lord, we say thank you that you have broken those chains off of us, that we are free. May we leave here today in freedom in Christ Jesus and bearing fruit that would honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you as you go. There's some stuff at the back table to sign up for, and we'll see you next week.